Beyond Bellevue, there's an emerging movement to change children's playgrounds, which goes in the opposite direction. The idea is to give kids less adult supervision, more freedom, and in some cases, more risk. And in some cases, that means actually playing with fire. Writer Hannah Rosen has covered this for The Atlantic. Her recent article is The Overprotected Kid. And Rosen told me social scientists think we've currently got a big play and playground problem.
Children are not left to discover and play on their own. So we very closely supervise everything they do. I'm sure people recognize the tableau of moms sort of hovering closely towards the child, worried that the child is going to fall or worried about what the child is doing. And on a more global level, just not to pin it on poor moms, is the way we've structured playgrounds these days, which is we've made them lower and lower over time, all in the name of safety. And ultimately, I think we've made them uninteresting to children. And so children never get to get their fears out of the way, to do things that they think are dangerous and master them. So we've gone to an extreme where everything is kind of prefab and plunked down and designed to avoid lawsuits. So that's the priorities for people who build playgrounds these days. It's very hard to go outside of those priorities. But here and there, people do. Thinking about play with children's development in mind as opposed to just manufacturing standards.
And one of the playgrounds that you write about is in England. It's in Wales, called The Land. What happens at The Land?
The Land is what we call the junk playground, which means it pretty much looks like a junkyard. There are just tires everywhere and tools that the kids use. And the most alarming thing to most people who come there is that kids build fires. So all around the playground, kids are building these little fires, and they're lightly supervised by a group of people called play workers. That's an actual job. They're hired by the government, and they are hired in order to make sure the kids are not really hurting themselves, but basically they try not to intervene, because the philosophy of a place like The Land is that kids should be able to explore with as little adult intervention as possible.
I think people were with you up until that point, and then they heard you mention small fires everywhere, and suddenly, you know, there was gasps that went up. They're thinking lawsuits, they're thinking safety. How does the safety of The Land and some of these adventure playgrounds compare to the other playgrounds we see these days that have safe teeter-totters or rubber ground cover to make sure kids don't bruise their knees?
They're not less safe. There haven't been any injuries at The Land. I think, you know, what a place like The Land shows is that our assumptions about children are not necessarily correct, or at least it's time to take another look at them. We generally assume that children are very fragile. That's a fairly modern assumption. We've had different images of children in different decades. When the adventure playgrounds were first around in the 40s, because that was during wartime, we assumed that, you know, children need to learn to be hardy and fend for themselves and face risky situations. That's just not an assumption right now, because we're not in wartime. So we have come to a point where we think of kids as very fragile and not able to handle very much. Now, it turns out, with some guidance and in a lightly supervised place and watching other children, they learn really easily. And one of the things I did is look at videos of kids in the 70s that a British researcher had put together, and their kids were routinely like wielding axes because their big brothers did. I mean, it was not taught by their parents. It wasn't something that they had to take explicitly, you know, go to wielding axe camp or anything. It was like, you know, in the family, the big brother would do it or the big sister, and then the kid would watch, and we would all watch each other. Now, we think, oh, but in those days, surely people got hurt more. Well, the statistics on playgrounds certainly don't bear that out. The injuries have not increased since the 70s.
Writer Hannah Rosen's with us, and she's telling us about an emerging movement to change playgrounds to make them less supervised, more free, in some cases more risky. What kind of reaction have you gotten here in the United States, which is a little bit more lawyered up?
The reaction is not what I expected. I expected people to say, oh my God, no way, you know, kids are going to be unsafe. Instead, what I got is a lot of nostalgia. I have an inbox full of people sharing their memories about their own childhood, what they were allowed to do, how they were allowed to run free, and just kind of wondering why their children don't have the same opportunities, just thinking about it. You know, I don't think anybody set out to be this kind of parent, but then we all look back and we think, wow, how did it change so radically in one generation? You know, why is it that I did all these things like walk to school by myself or run around the neighborhood or even play in the street, and my kids never ever do that?
That's writer Hannah Rosen. Her recent article for The Atlantic is The Overprotected Kid. As it turns out, one of the only of these adventure playgrounds in the United States happens to be right here in the greater Seattle area. It's open every summer on Mercer Island. Diane Mortensen is recreation supervisor for Mercer Island Parks and Recreation. What is this adventure playground like? What's the experience like? What's the landscape like?
It's a large wooded area at our Dean's Children's Park. So it's just off of our main road in the wooded setting, and it's a really large open space forest setting.
So what's the difference between the adventure playground and just the woods?
At the beginning of the summer, it is just the woods, and then once the adventure playground opens, kids come in and we provide wood and all sorts of material and equipment for them to build things with. So maybe tire swings, we'll bring in some sand, rope. And so they have all these things to start creating things with, forts, houses, anything that they could imagine to discover and build, they will build with tools. It's open for 6 years and up, but I think that the majority of the kids are coming are the youth age. We've got gloves and safety goggles, saws, hammers, nails, and staff is there, and they'll guide them, and they'll show them where the wood is. They'll kind of give them an idea of what to do, because some of these kids have never participated in building any sort of a thing like this before, so they're a little starstruck when they walk in. What do we do? So they get going, and they just start small. They might just put two pieces together and hammer a nail in, saw something, and the more kids come, the more they feed off of each other. They'll build off of each other's structures.
So what do you end up with? This is open starting in June, and what do you end up with by the end of the summer?
Yeah, so it is fun to watch it evolve over the summer. We've got tree houses, forts, ramps, boats, whatever the children will build to, you know, hang out in, all sorts of different things. Boys stay out. They'll ride on it. The girls will do that. There's lots of girls that participate. And anything that they just imagine doing.
Why do you think that this unsupervised, unstructured play is so important for kids?
Kids are so scheduled these days and over-supervised at times. I think that this gives them an opportunity to build on their own imagination and thought process and just be one with nature outside in the fresh air. I think it's important for their mental, physical well-being overall.
Diane Mortensen is recreation supervisor for Mercer Island Parks and Recreation. The Adventure Playground opens this summer for kids on and off the island. It's The Record on KUOW with Ross Reynolds. I'm David Hyde.